So not only do we have to be honest, but we have to be as accurate as possible, because many of our words come out of our mouths inaccurately, and they don't represent what we really think and feel with accuracy. So in this way, we need to be a little bit like Spock. Spock speaks very accurately, so all of his words mean exactly what he is thinking. And he's very precise in that way. We don't have to be, you know, as fanatical as Spock was about it, but it just conjuring up that idea of how Spock represents his words very accurately is something that we need to take note of. And oftentimes, we may say something to somebody else, and that other person may think, completely misunderstand what we're saying, and it may be our fault. Sometimes it's their fault, sometimes it's our fault. If it's our fault, what we have to do is make sure that our words are accurate. Now, on the other hand, sometimes your words may be accurate, and the other person only hears, leaves out a word or something in his hearing. You ever have that happen? You may say six words and the guy only hears five words, and that word that he didn't hear changes the whole meaning of the whole sentence that you give out. So when we speak our words to people, if they hear only five out of six words, that's the word they're registering in their consciousness. In other words, remember, the word esoterically isn't just one word, like black, white, up, down. But it can be a phrase, it can be a paragraph, it can be a book. It represents what is esoterically a word. So if you're speaking a phrase with six words and they only hear five, that is a word that they are registering in their consciousness. Now, when you're speaking to people, and sometimes I'll speak to Artie, I'm close enough to her, that I'll tell her something, and I just know her well enough to know whether or not she is registering what I'm saying. And I can often tell, I'll say, well, I don't think you get what I said. Let me repeat it, and then I will emphasize the word that I think she missed, and then she'll get it. And she does the same thing with me to a degree. Of course, I understand her all the time, right? She has no problem with me, you know. Shaking her head over there for those on the audio. But accuracy in communication is extremely important. And we both have to be responsible, because if you're inaccurate and you think the person is registering, then that's a mistake that both sides have made. So in order for our words to have power, they have to be accurately perceived, thought through, and communicated. Okay, so that pretty much sums up the word which is God. Does anyone have any comment or questions on this subject before we move on?
Yeah. And anyone here heard of NLP?
Sure.
Yeah.
A few of us have. So in NLP, they have these things called presuppositions. They're basically these rules, and whether or not they're true, they're useful. Mm-hmm. And so, and one of the main ones is the meaning of my communication is the response that I get. And so it puts the burden on yourself to make sure you're communicating well. But whatever response they get or feedback you get from them, that's what your communication really means to that person. So,
yeah.
Which is kind of goes along with that.
Interesting. Yeah, like if Jesus says, if the right eye offend thee, pluck it out, he probably didn't really plan on a bunch of people going plucking their eyes out, you know. So the saintly gal that actually plucked her eye out, or I think she, I can't remember if she plucked both eyes or just one. I can't recall, but that was a heck of a thing for somebody to do. Other people handle deadly snakes because the scripture says that if you have enough faith, the snake can bite you and it won't hurt you. So they handle these deadly snakes, and every once in a while somebody dies from it. So and does actually get bit. So accuracy and lack of corruption, because our words are corrupted so much. It's kind of pathetic when you study history, you find there's a series of initiates that have surfaced on our planetary history. They come forward, they teach really good things, like the Buddha, Jesus, our founding fathers. They produce wonderful things that they initiated. And then what happens? The next generation that follows doesn't see the vision, doesn't see the word, and they corrupt the word, and they twist it and change the meaning. So this is what's happened with our Constitution. We're at the point that if somebody is trying to organize a group that's supportive of the Constitution, the word, the Constitution raises a red flag with the IRS, and they come and audit them. And there's a big problem over that now, that the IRS is being investigated over these words, and these words that trigger the IRS to look into these various organizations are wonderful words. But we've gone so far away from the Constitution and the principles that our founding fathers held dear that these founding principles are seen almost as evil. And this is what Isaiah says, "Woe unto those that call good evil and evil good. There is none that doeth good, no, not one," Isaiah said about the people in his day. And this scripture has been repeated in various ages. In the fact that it's very hard for people to see what is good and true. They take it and they turn it upside down. And then after everything gets upside down, great initiates will come in and they'll turn it right side up again, and they'll start something that is wonderful and good and true, and then they will die and they'll go to the next world, and then a new generation will come in and look at it and say, "Hey, we can improve this," and they change it all around, just like in the Chinese whispers game. You whisper the cow jumped over the moon. One guy hears it a little differently, changes it, the next guy changes it. They're trying to do what's right, but they're just not hearing entirely accurately. And by the time it gets around to the 12th guy, you don't even recognize the phrase anymore. And this is like it is with any great work. With the teachings of Jesus, Jesus taught a lot of things that were wonderful, and each generation changed it a little bit till we got to the Middle Ages, that anyone that didn't believe the way the authorities believed, they burned them at the stake. Now, how did they get that from the words of Jesus? Or they had impaled them, or they cut out their tongues, or they gouged out their eyes, or they put them on in a burning seat of some kind, and did these terrible things to them, all in the name of what Jesus was supposed to have said. And so each generation after Jesus left twisted his words and corrupted them more and more and more, until finally the time comes that some initiates come and they change things back to the better. The words of Jesus got more and more corrupted until finally, about this time of the founding of our nation, we not only established principles of freedom, but religion started to get a lot more friendly and reverted back a little bit toward the words of Jesus again. So at least even the worst religions in this country don't burn anybody at the stake anymore. So this...
Literally, at least.
Yeah, not literally. A lot of them would if they get away with it. I think a lot of them would like to burn some of us here at the stake just for what we believe, if they could. Like I was telling one guy after I was excommunicated by the council of my friends, and there were people that I had good relationships with. One of them came to me afterwards and says, "You know, it's too bad we can't put apostates to death the way they did in the old days." You know, so he thought it would have been great if they could have put me to death. You know, and so what protects us from? I don't think it's the fact that it's a little bit the fact that religions have evolved. But a lot of it is to do with law. Law is extremely important in keeping peace and stability. And what we do, the danger we're in this nation right now, is we pass all kinds of laws, and then we completely break them. And then we say, well, we need more laws because we aren't obeying the laws, so we got to make tougher laws. So they make tougher laws, and the only people that obey these tough laws are the most stand-up citizens that we have. All the riffraff don't obey the laws at all. And so everybody complains, well, we got all these laws and nobody's obeying them. So what does our Congress do? They say, well, we'll pass some more laws then. And so that's always their solution, pass more laws. We have thousands of laws. Well, this new immigration law they want to pass is 1,200 pages. Obamacare was...
And that's just one law.
Yeah, there's just one law. It could be written on two paragraphs, but they had to write 1,200 pages, put all kinds of little things in there that everybody wants, and lots of things to control us. Obamacare was 2,900 pages as it passed. After it passed, it's now up to 50,000 pages.
And they haven't read them themselves, those.
No, nobody's read the 50,000 pages.
No, I mean, even the immigration, no one reads them.
What'd you say?
How could anybody read 50,000 pages?
Nobody has. Nobody knows what's in the 50,000 pages. It's a mystery. People are finding new stuff all the time. There are people, sincere people, that's out there reading this stuff, and about every day on the internet you see some new crazy thing that's in these laws that they pass that they haven't read. It's like Nancy Pelosi said, we got to pass this law to find out what is in it. And now she's insinuating that we got to do the same thing with immigration law. Well, 1,200 pages is too much to read, but, you know, if we pass it, we'll find out what's in it.
So what's the answer, JJ?
Well, the answer to that is in my book, Fixing America.
Yeah. If you... If